Amen. What a powerful song. Amen. If you're saying amen, just flash your lights at me. That way I know you guys are alive and well out there. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Today is going to be a little different. We are preaching on Easter, but it's going to be a different approach. My section today is going to be on the power of the cross. And if you would, I would have you just turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18 through 20. And this is, we're going to start off in that scripture, but there's going to be many more scriptures. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited a little bit. I'm excited because I'm able to speak on who God is, what He has done. I'm excited because we are still in fellowship. I'm excited because I can see my brothers and sisters that were excited to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. It reads, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but," verse 19, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in this last times for you." Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we talk about the power of the cross, we have to look at, there's three parts of this that I want to share with you. And those three parts make up the power of the cross. And the first part that I want to share with you is the power of love in the power of the cross. Because love was in action when we look at the cross. Love was very evident when we look at the cross. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says in the NIV, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." That is the type of love that we're looking at this morning when we look at the cross, the love of Christ. You see, for many, the message of the cross is foolishness, the Word of God says, to those that are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power. It is the power of God. Amen. It is the power of God. That is what we're looking at when we look at the cross. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends." That is part of the love. See, the love found a way. Praise God. This little breeze is driving me nuts. Love found a way to pay the debt that we couldn't pay. We all know that. We couldn't buy God's favor. We couldn't work for God's for this. We are not good enough. But love found a way. The prelude to the cross was a sacrifice that we found in the Old Testament, where they sacrificed an innocent lamb for the guilty. It wasn't a perfect sacrifice. It was just a picture of what was to come. It was a picture of Christ Himself. We needed someone that represent humanity and someone that represent God's holiness, and that someone was in the person of Christ Himself. That is the power of the cross, the act of love, because it wasn't just a few bruises that He bore. It wasn't just because we just didn't deserve it. We offended Him by our sins, yet He offered Himself for us. Amen. He offered Himself for us. John chapter 10, verse 18, the Word of God says that Jesus said, "No man, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord." He wasn't forced into this, but He said, "Because I love them with an everlasting love, I lay my life down for them." You see, purged by the blood of the Lamb, as spoken in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 through 28. I would ask that you would look at that when you have an alone time with God and meditate upon those words.
Amen. Amen.
The second part of the cross is found in the word redemption. If you would, please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 4. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. Hallelujah. The Word of God reads, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared for me. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he says sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. But then he said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You see, through the redemption part of the cross, when we talk about the power of the cross, we find that the work of Christ was finished. That is the reason why he says it is finished, because it was a positional sanctification right at that moment. At salvation, this is what it means at salvation. It is not what you have done, but whom you have known and what he has done for you. Amen. Can I hear or can I see an amen this morning? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And so we see also in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "Too many gave he his life as a ransom." The Word of God says it wasn't just to the one, it was to all that will receive him. That is the redemption part of the cross. When we look at the cross, we see love and we see redemption. Why? Because he was our substitute. You see, Titus 2:14 says, "He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." 1 Peter 2:24, I know I'm rattling this off, but see, I'm just an opener, and I'm trying to get everything in before Jason comes on. And so, 1 Peter 2:24, he says, "His own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes that we are healed." Amen. Amen. It is the working of grace, that redemption part of it. Grace, God's redemption at Christ's expense. That's the power of the cross. You see, Isaiah 53, we're all familiar with that, but I want to focus on verse 5. It says here, "But he was wounded for our transgression." That's the substitute part of it. That he stepped in our place. That he says, "I will be your ugly. I will get on the cross. I will die for you. I will take your place." He says he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. He took the punishment, what we should have taken, what we deserve. But yet the innocent Lamb of God took our punishment, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Word of God says that with his stripes, because of the blood that was shed, because of the sacrifice on the cross, because of the fact that Jesus Christ came and took the form of a man and went on that cross, the Word of God says that we are spiritual. spiritually healed. We are spiritually made whole. How many's made whole this morning? How many can say, yes, I know my Redeemer. Yes, I know the lover of my soul. Yes, I know the way maker. Yes, I know that he is alive and well and living today. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And so the third part that I want to share here as well, and the last part, when we look at the cross, we see also restoration. The three parts of the cross: love, redemption, and restoration. You see, because the first Adam, his disobedience broke the relationship between us and God. The first Adam in disobedience brought the fall of humanity to this world. We're the byproduct of the fall. Can I hear an amen? We are the byproduct of the fall. What am I saying? We are the stench because of sin, the byproduct of the fall. But yet, the power of the cross through salvation, the word of God says, restores. The message of the cross is this: it doesn't leave you the same condition that it finds you in. Amen. It doesn't leave you in your mess. It doesn't leave you in your brokenness. It doesn't leave you a sinful man, but it cleanses you and it restores you. You see, let me tell you something. Restoration or restore means to bring back to a former original condition, to reestablish. And you see, it's what God did on that cross. He said, this is a restoration part of it. He says, I will reverse the separation that had occurred in the beginning of time. I will replace what has been stolen. I will replace what has been lost, because this is the restoration that I brought to this world today. Sin separates, but the Christ restores through the cross is a clean slate. You see, King David said it best. He says, I've fallen, but in repentance, he restores my soul. He took my ugly and he made me whole. Turn with me to the book of Psalms chapter 51. And in closing, I want to read this last section, starting with verse 10. And here we find his prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away, sin separates. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In verse 12, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The first Adam brought death, but the second Adam, through death, brought life. But you see, it doesn't end here. See, we're talking about the cross, but it doesn't end here. There is a power of the tomb. There is a power of the tomb. And this is where Jason is going to take over from here.
So as the message states, from the cross to the resurrection, and I want to talk a little bit about the resurrection now, because that's what we celebrate today, but you can't have the resurrection without the cross. In John 11, 23 through 25, it says, Jesus said to her, he's talking about her brother Lazarus, and he says, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know he will rise at the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I ask you today, do you believe in the resurrection? Because the resurrection is what our faith is based on. And if we do not have faith in the resurrection, then we do not have our faith in who we are as Christians. You see, the resurrection was not an event. The resurrection is a person. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. And we're going through a time period right now in our culture where we've got a lot of things that are coming at us. We got COVID-19. We got a lot of fears, sicknesses, depression, insecurities, addictions. We got marriages that are falling apart. When you have a relationship with God and you know what the resurrection means and the power of the resurrection, you see, fear loses its ability to pull you away from God. When we look at depression and insecurities in our lives, the Bible says that if we get under the shadow of the Almighty, that He protects us. All of a sudden, these things become insignificant. Are they a reality? Yes. But they will not bring us down. They will not destroy us. Because Jesus, our Lord, is the resurrection. And when we give our lives to Christ, we become resurrected. Amen. We're no longer bound to the sin of this world, to the flesh. We live in the Spirit. The Bible says that we become a new creation, a new birth, a new man. And the Word of God says that when we need these things, that we are to climb under the wing of the Almighty. There is no depression. There is no sickness. There is no anger. There is no insecurity. There is no addiction in the spiritual world. And when we're spending time with God in the Spirit, the more time we're spending with God in the Spirit, the less time we got to allow these things to keep us from having a relationship with God. First Corinthians 15:17-19. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You see, Christ had to be raised again from the dead. A man, any man, could have said to you that if you will just give me your sins, I will take them to the cross. I could have been whooped. I could have been crucified. But I could never have been risen again. You see, only Jesus had that ability to be raised again because He is the resurrection. Amen. It wasn't an event, but the resurrection is a person. It is Jesus Christ. And if we do not stand on the resurrection of God, then our faith is futile. It means nothing. We can be like every other religion out there, but that's not who we are. We have a God that came here as a baby. And grew up as a man. And took our sin, the worst sin that you can imagine, He took it to a cross. And even that wasn't enough. He had to be resurrected to finalize it. If I write a document to somebody and send it to somebody else, and the carrier takes it to you and said, this is from Jason, if it doesn't have my signature on it, it means absolutely nothing, because anybody could have wrote it. When a king would send a letter, he would put his seal and wax upon it. That way, whoever received it knew who it was from, so that they weren't fooled. When Christ was resurrected, that was the signature, that was the seal that finalized the deal. You see, we are part of that resurrection. And that's where the church needs to get this. We need to realize that we are resurrected right alongside Christ. When we give our lives to Him, we say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's why we're baptized. We're put under water. The old man is dead. We come up, the new man is born again. We are a resurrected spirit when we give our lives to Christ. And our spirit lines up with the Spirit of God. We need to spend more time in the Spirit and less time in the flesh. COVID-19, in some aspects, hear me out here, was a blessing to the church. It was a blessing to the church, you heard me. Because everything we idolized, everything we worshiped, God took it away. He shut down the football teams and the sports that drew us away from God. The big concerts, the movie stars, all these things are shut down now. God is drawing the body of Christ back to Him. The question is, are you going to listen? Are you going to use this time, this knock on the door, this warning, to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. And start to draw close to God. Start to give the Spirit and spend time with God instead of time away from God. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God. If we do not know God, we do not have eternal life. There's two places we end up. We end up either in heaven or we end up in hell. And the Bible says that if you do not have a relationship with God, you're going to spend eternity in hell. I don't care if you said the sinner's prayer. If your life ain't changed, if you ain't transformed, then you're still living in the flesh. And the only thing you have to look forward to is an eternity of damnation. The Bible says that when we truly surrender our lives to God, that our lives are changed. They're transformed. The Bible calls it a new man. The Bible says that we will reflect the image of Christ. Use this opportunity as we are quarantined to our homes to evaluate your life. How are you living your life? Are you honoring God? Are you pleasing God, the one that died, the one that took your sins to that cross? Is He not worth all of us? Are the things that you do every day glorifying God? My mother told me one time when I smoked, when we were determining whether it's good or bad, she asked me, she said, would you do it inside the church? And I said, no. She said, would you do it in front of the body of Christ? I said, no. And then she says, then why do you do it? Ask yourself the life that you live. Would you do it in front of God? Does it honor God? If you answer that no, then you have to ask yourself, why am I doing it? We've all been there. We all make mistakes. We all need the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But our lives are called to continuously grow. We're called to mature. Yesterday shouldn't be the same as tomorrow. We've all got there. But maybe this is a wake-up call from God for each and every one of us to evaluate our life. Because once we die, we can't go back. 2 Peter 1:3. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, the resurrection released the power to the body of Christ, to the church. And the Bible says that in that power we have the ability to all things. God will supply everything that you need when you're in the body of Christ. You have that power to walk away from sin. You have that power to walk away from addiction. If your marriage is on the rocks, you have that power to restore your marriage. You have the power of the resurrection as a child of God to change your life and to change the life around you. You have that power that was given to you at the resurrection. All Christians have that power. We just need to access the power of the resurrection. In Romans 4:25, who has delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification? You know what that means? It means that when Christ was raised, he justified you as a believer. What does justified mean? I'll give you a generic version. Just as if I never sinned. When you stand before the throne of God, you are justified because of the resurrection, because of the crucifixion. When you stand before God as a believer, it's just as if you never sinned. That's a pretty awesome power that God gave you as a child of God to justify your past as if you never did it, to wash away your sin, to make you clean in the presence of God, because we know that sin has no place in the presence of God. You have the ability as a child of God through the resurrection to have your sins washed away. Imagine that. Imagine the worst thing that you've ever done in your life can be forgiven to where it's remembered no more. That when you stand before God and God says, how did you live your life? And you start to say, well, there was this one time, and God says, no, that time didn't exist. That's under the blood. Well, the question is, if we have that justification, how can we still hold on to things in our lives? How can we still have things that keep us from going where God wants us to go? How can we still allow our past to keep us from moving forward? Can I tell you something? That when Christ went to that cross and was crucified, when he was raised 3 days later, those chains and those shackles were released from you. You're no longer bound by your sin or your past. You have been justified, meaning you have been set free to fulfill the calling that God has placed in your life. Ephesians 4:24. Oh! The kid was talking to me. Never.
Saying amen.
Ephesians 4:24. In that you put on, here it is. This is for the church. This is for those of you who have accepted Christ. In that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That means you are no longer the man you were or the woman you were before you accepted Christ. When you said, God, forgive me, the Bible says that he makes you into a new creation. The problem is we need to see ourselves as a new creation. We need to see ourselves as somebody that's forgiven. The world's ugly. But that don't mean we need to be ugly. God's Spirit lives inside of us. Do we realize that? When we give our lives to Christ, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. We have the power through the resurrection of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. What sin? What addiction can have power over you? Absolutely nothing. If you're a born-again believer. Many times we want to say it. We want to say, I live my life because I am who I am because of who my father was. I am who I am because of what happened to me. I am who I am. I am who I am. I am who I am. That is hogwash when you give your life to Christ. You're a new man. Those old things don't hang on no more. They don't have a right to your soul anymore. God got rid of that. He gave you a new spirit, and he ignited it, and he washed it, and he cleansed it, and he purified it. It's time that we look at ourselves as somebody who is righteous and holy. Because sin has no place in that lifestyle. Because of the resurrection, we have the ability to defeat sin in our lives. Some of y'all right now are saying, yeah, but you don't know what I'm addicted to. You don't. Yeah, I do. I was an addict. I was an alcoholic. And I couldn't walk away from it until I realized that God really wanted to set me free. You see, as a child of God, we have that ability to overcome sin in our lives. It's called say no. It's called know who you are. It's called know who God is. And you are a child of God. And God defeated sin. The grave couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't keep him. He's alive. He's resurrected. And his spirit lives in every believer. Corinthians 5:19. That is that God was in Christ. That God was in Christ reconciling the world himself, not imputing the trespasses to them, and has committed to us a world of reconciliation. You see, Christianity is not a solution to our problems. Christ is. But we are called to be warriors in a world of sin, to share the love of God. You hear that? Through the resurrection, the empowerment, we are called as the body of Christ to put on the new man and to become a warrior, a champion for God, for his kingdom. Some of y'all might say, you know, God's not a warrior, God's love. Love is one of his characteristics. But just wait. The world's going to see what a warrior he is. And they ain't going to like it. But you as a child of God, you have that empowerment through the Holy Spirit to be a warrior for the kingdom, to preach the gospel, to walk into places that nobody wants to walk into. You just got to know who you are. You got to know what the power of the resurrection means in your life. And you got to know what the purpose that God has for you. It's time the church starts to become warriors, starts to get angry at sin. You see, we become comfortable with sin. That's why the world's in the state it is. Because we become comfortable with sin. We say, well, okay, if it's over here, as long as it don't affect me, why do I need to do anything? If it's in that person's family, why do they need to do anything? You know the biggest thing in the culture right now? Only God can judge me. Or you tell somebody that the lifestyle of the living wouldn't honor God if they're in the church, they say, why are you judging me? You know what they're saying? I'm comfortable where I'm at. I don't need to hear you hear that. Because there's no conviction in the body of Christ no more. There's no conviction. We get involved in our sin and we just live there and it becomes a comfortable place. Well, the Bible says that's not good for us. We're not supposed to live in that. It's because there ain't many warriors in the church anymore. I'm sorry, but it's true. We as the children of God have the power through the resurrection to be the light in the world. If we're not going to be the light as the church, who's going to reflect into the world? The enemy is. And he's going to suck them down into it until they perish in hell forever. Not one of us is promised a tomorrow. Not one of us. You are not guaranteed to even make it home from this parking lot. You're not guaranteed to wake up tomorrow. or the next day. Ask yourself, if you died right this second, would you end up in heaven according to the Word of God? Not according to your own heart, but according to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians, we're almost done. I know everybody's probably going to go to the bathroom by now. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, behold as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. The power that was released to the body of Christ through the resurrection gave you the ability to portray the image of Christ. When the world sees you, are they seeing the image of God? Because the Bible says, as the image in the mirror, that we are to be transformed from glory to glory. When the world sees you, do they see a representation of Christ in you? Or do they see the old man? Because if they're seeing the old man, then we need to get on our knees and pray to God. We need to read the Bible more. We need to spend more time with God until His Spirit transforms our spirit and gives us a revelation of His love and mercy and grace and what He wants to pour out upon each one of us. I know it's not the typical Easter message today, but we're living in perilous times. And if I do not live through tomorrow, I want to know that I preached what God put on my heart. And I want to know that those who hear my voice know that there is hope only in Jesus Christ. There ain't hope in that NFL football team. There ain't hope in a basketball team. There is not hope in actors or actresses, rock stars. You're wasting your time. There's no hope in that. There is only hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. Last scripture, then we'll close. This one's awesome. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As the power was released from the resurrection, and we've accepted Christ. The most powerful family in the world. You know, everybody looks at the Queen of England and their family is the most powerful family in the world. Ain't true. It ain't true. As you're grafted in the kingdom of God, God's family is the most powerful, revered family in the world. You don't believe so? Why do you think everybody is coming against Christianity now? The power that was released through the resurrection, when you give your life to Christ, has grafted you into a family. And the Bible says that we will grow and will become a respect, every respect, a mature body. And as new believers, the Bible says that we start off on milk, just like a baby. But there comes a time that we need to get off that milk. We need to get out of the pew. And we need to get on solid food. And we got to do what God calls us to do. We got to be responsible for ourselves. We can't blame our past. We can't blame others. We got to take accountability for our own lives. And when we suffer, the whole family suffers. And we are called to grow in this mature body with Christ being the head. That means we do what the body or what the head calls us to do. We listen to Christ And we can't do that if we're not walking in the Spirit, if we're not spending time with Him. I can't say I'm a Christian and know what God wants me to do if I don't read the Bible and pray and hear the voice of God. Our world is falling apart, church. It's time that we rise up. We take our rightful position in the kingdom of God. It's a position that God called you to. It's a position that God anointed you to. It's a position that God prepared for you. We don't need a building. Buildings are nice. We're called to congregate. But the building isn't the church.
Amen.
We're the church.
Amen.
It's time we get that. We get the realization of what Christ did for us. If we don't do what God calls to do, He went to the cross for nothing. His resurrection means nothing to us. If our faith isn't in Him, and if our faith is in the Father, then we do what the Father calls us to do. We're held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. So it's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's not just about Pastor Steve. We need to come together as a body. We're more powerful that way. We're stronger that way. If you're having a hard time, we can pray for you 6 foot distance. Just joking. Oh, there they go. Somebody's going to get them. But we can pray for you. Don't hold your difficult times to yourself. They'll tear you down. We're called as the body to come together. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You're not guaranteed to make it home. Ask God, say, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. Make me a new creation. I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for my sins. And 3 days later, he rose again and released the resurrection power so that I could become a born-again believer, a child of the Most High God. And then you get in your Bible and you start to read the Word of God. You start to believe the Word of God. You start to pray to God. You start to spend time with God. If you don't feel that transformation, then continue to pray. Continue to reach out to God. Say, God, make yourself real to me. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. I want to spend eternity in heaven with you. And keep on crying out. Keep knocking until He answers that door. Because when He answers that door, He's going to move in your life like a mighty raging wind. And be ready, because He's going to use you if you're willing to be used. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord God, on this Resurrection Sunday, which is a day that we set aside to acknowledge that you are the true resurrection. You are the life for everybody who calls upon you. I pray over each and every person that is here today as we go about our day that your word from the cross to the resurrection continues to resonate inside of our spirit and continues to grow and continues to bring that conviction in our lives that we call out to you, Father God. That we don't become complacent in our walk. We don't become complacent with the everyday life. That we're not content until we're spending quality time with you. And Father, I pray over anybody that's here today that does not have a relationship with you. They might say they know you, but even the demons know you. So Father, I pray for the one or the two or the three that do not have that relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, I just pray right now that there would be a burning inside of their spirit, a longing, a desire for something greater than what they have right now, and that they would cry out to you. Father, I pray right now over the spirit of addiction, through the authority of Jesus Christ, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, your resurrection. Father, in the name of Jesus, let those who are addicted today be set free, be delivered, be resurrected from the life of bondage, and set apart from the world, that they would no longer walk in a spirit of addiction, but that they would walk in freedom. Father, I pray over anybody that is here today that is going through difficult circumstances. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know which way to go. They're not sure what tomorrow is going to bring. As your word says, Father God, that you would just wrap them in the cleft of your wing. Cover them, Father God. Protect them. Heal their broken hearts. Mend their wounds. And restore their faith in you. But Father, I just pray over each and every person that is here today as they leave this place and go home and spend time with their families. Father, that to them, it's not a normal resurrection day. But it's an extraordinary resurrection day. That they would realize that the power that you have placed in them is to conquer the negativity and doubts of this world. Father, be with each and every one of us as we leave here today and bring you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Listen.